border closures have been a very successful mitigation strategy for the Pacific, and as an outside observer simply looking at figures on a map on the internet in terms of the number of cases, you might think that the Pacific has gotten through this pandemic relatively unscathed, but the impact has been quite high. And this is because of many reasons, but the first would be the international movement of passengers by air, across the world has pretty much ceased. Cruise ships have stopped running, and this impacts heavily on a region that's highly reliant on tourism for employment and revenue. And the shutdown of passenger services also makes it difficult for international organisations and UN agencies, especially WHO, to move technical personnel around the Pacific to support governments in their response to the COVID-19 outbreak. It's also affected international supply chains, especially for air cargo. And this makes it very difficult for Pacific governments and international aid organisations to import goods, especially medical equipment like the personal protective equipment that you need to protect our health workers.
So what's World Food Programme, WFP's role in the Pacific for addressing these issues?
Well, I'd like to first point out the WFP Pacific Office is not a typical WFP operation. A typical WFP operation is involved in the distribution of food aid or food assistance. But we in the Pacific Office have been working very closely with governments in support of their emergency preparedness activities, and that's because the Pacific is highly susceptible to extreme weather events, as seen in the recent Cyclone Harold that hit four countries in the Pacific back in April. And just to give you some examples of what we're doing in relation to COVID, we work across three sectors. The first one is emergency telecommunications. An example of the work we've been doing here in this emergency telecommunications sector is my team has been part of a cross-functional team that's worked with ministries of health across the Pacific to set up COVID-19 call centres and is also working with Pacific governments on telehealth initiatives. The second sector we work in is food security. We've been working with ministries of agriculture to set up remote surveys on food security at the household level. And the third sector we work in is logistics. And a good example for logistics is that with the shutdown in the aviation sector affecting the ability of governments and aid organisations to import goods, we've established the Pacific Humanitarian Air Service, which will deliver cargo to those countries where there are no viable commercial options available for the importation of freight by air.
What are the resources that you'll be flying in, and the flights, what will they be doing and where will they be going?
I'd first like to say that we want to see the commercial aviation sector back up and running and in the sky flying as soon as possible. And we don't want to do anything that would contradict this or that would disincentivize the aviation sector commercially. So all the flights that we will operate will be limited as much as possible to those sectors without commercial options. So this air service that we're providing is going to fill a crucial gap in the supply chain for governments and for humanitarian organisations. We'll be moving cargo on behalf of organisations such as UNICEF, World Health Organisation, the International Federation of the Red Cross. We'll be moving stuff on behalf of the Pacific community, on behalf of the Australian government, and this includes with medical items, medical equipment, medicines, personal protective equipment.
So with these humanitarian flights, how long do you think you can keep these going?
Well, WFP is a voluntary funded organisation, and we rely completely on donations from governments and private sector. So we can keep flying for as long as we've got funds coming in. And hopefully, we'll have enough support, the donor community, to allow us to fill the gap in the aviation sector until it's restored and our services are no longer required.
So with the flights and also with the COVID-19 pandemic and with Tropical Cyclone Harold happening just a few months ago, how important are initiatives like your humanitarian flights to the Pacific?
I mean, they're very important. And the point I'd like to make is that, you can look at the Pacific as an outsider and look at the number of cases and think, look, they've done really well. They don't have any problems with COVID-19. But, the Pacific has done really well and has a low number of cases because they basically locked themselves down and shut out the rest of the world. But that had massive impacts on their economies and on the livelihoods of their populations. And so, there's going to be a lot of support going forward required for the Pacific to help them to overcome the impacts of COVID-19 across the Pacific.
And have you had support from other member states for these humanitarian flights?
So at the moment, we have two funders for our humanitarian air service in the Pacific, and those funders are the Australian government and the government of the United States.
And the coordination between the Pacific member states, do you get involved with that?
And certainly in relation to this air service, yes, the Pacific Islands Forum has set up what they call the Pacific Humanitarian Pathway for COVID-19. And this is essentially an enabling environment that's been established to facilitate the humanitarian response to COVID-19. And we are working through that pathway to also move cargo on behalf of governments. So normally, humanitarian air services only move cargo on behalf of humanitarian organisations, but in this particular case in the Pacific, because of the unprecedented circumstances we find ourselves in, where no one can get anything on a plane, we're also moving medical cargo for governments, and that's being coordinated through the Pacific Islands Forum Secretariat and this Pacific Humanitarian Pathway for COVID-19.